Initialize sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for The Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks!
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine! I finally get to see what a vagina looks like. Ah, oh god! Oh my god!
Don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. But you call yourself stupid for 2 hours.
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Ryan, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. I am Brian, along with, as always, my co-host, Tony.
Hello, everybody.
Holy shit, we are back live on the air. 3 weeks off.
Yeah, it's been a rough time.
2 weeks planned, 1 week, not so much.
Yeah.
But we are back live. Everything seems to be in working order for two fucking tin cans and a piece of string.
Pretty much, yes.
And we are
a long
live.
Fucking string.
Yes. Reaching from Cincinnati to Philadelphia and beyond. Welcome back to the show, folks. It's good to be back on the air. For for 1 week, anyway, because next week we'll be in Best Ofs, and then we'll have a probably do a live show the week of Christmas. And then we'll be in Best Ofs Part 2. We always put together the end of the year holiday spectacular, so that'll probably be next week at Part 1, and then Part 2 will be the week between Christmas and New Year's. So that's the plan anyway.
Yes, yes.
If you'd like to call the show tonight, 951-FREAKS-0, that's 951-373-2570. On the show tonight, we're just going to take a stab at doing what we were supposed to do last week. From Cash Cab, the very funny comedian, Mr. Ben Bailey, will be on the show. And then the second half of the show, to help us make a very big announcement, our pal Uncle Eddie from the Ham Radio Show will be joining us. You can hear the...
Yes, a very big announcement. I'm excited.
Yes.
Very big announcement. I'll never tell.
Who are you going to tell that's going to give a shit?
That's a good point.
So there's that.
My parents? What? I don't know. You can ring the bell on that one. That'll kill me.
Anyway. So yeah, we got the telephone number, we got the guests. Social media. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that. You can check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks. If you like to use Twitter instead of the Facebook, you can use Twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks. Facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks, Radio Freaks on Twitter. Tony, Trash Can Lives on Twitter. And I'm at...
Yes, Wolf please Lord. Do. Please do.
And then... Tony's show, The Anticast, follow that, at The Anticast on Twitter. And Anticast Live, on Anticast.live on the web. And you had your buddy Nick on the other night, but I think there was some issues and you're going to redo that show this week, possibly?
Yeah, we scrapped the show. I mean, the Anticast is probably going to go on hiatus here for a little while. I had a...
Until you can buy a Mac.
I guess you can blame me. I don't know. Yeah, you're having technical difficulties, so I mean, I would like for you to be one of my co-hosts, but my other co-host Montez, I don't really know what's going on. Haven't really heard from him. So this isn't the first time it's happened. That's kind of why we went on hiatus last year. So we'll see. The Anticast may be back. I'll be doing them short, you know, every once in a while. But
nice, good shit.
So yeah,
it's not a bad show. I just think, and this may change with your changing co-hosts, I always thought that the show was a little bit hip-hop heavy, but I'm also an old fart.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just morphed into that, and I was okay with it. I know about hip-hop. I know a lot about it.
So that whole scene has become kind of like pop music, the new pop music almost.
Yeah, it's just kind of me and Montez, you know, knew a lot about it and kind of just it just morphed into that.
Right.
More or less freedom of speech stuff was a lot of stuff we talked about, but again, I don't know. It's probably going to morph into something else, but I have another podcast that I'm going to announce soon coming out with one of my friends, who's actually a comedian, and then one of my other friends.
Nice. So,
I mean, nice. I don't know. It doesn't have a name yet, and we haven't even started it yet, but that will be starting soon. So
another podcast you'll want me to do that I won't have time to for,
or we won't be able to hear you or something.
Exactly.
Something will go wrong.
Touché, okay. Motherfucker. So, yeah. So for those of you wondering, it was absolutely my fault that we were not on the air last week. My computer completely shit the bed, and what was working for nearly a year and a half suddenly decided not to fucking work anymore. And we literally took not that you need to know any of this shit, but we literally took what normally would be the time that we would do the show and still hadn't figured it out yet. So we did some shit this week, and we've jerry-rigged it together, at least to be able to put out a show for the next two episodes. And then we will readdress it in the new year and see what we can figure out.
So. Yeah, it's very frustrating. My fingers are crossed right now, to be honest. I'm just hoping everything goes smoothly. We don't want Ben Bailey to be angry with us again.
Yes. Well, he wasn't angry with us last time. He's like, he just sent us a message on Twitter, like, "What happened?"
Yes, but I'm sure he will be a little bit upset this time if we
fucked it up again. Yeah, that would be a bad thing. So, but it seems, I mean, we're 8 minutes in and we're all right. So, I think we should be good.
Why would you even poke that bear?
I know. I realized that as the words were coming out of my mouth. So there's that. But yeah. Anyway, but it's good to be back. Like I said, next week we will do probably best of part one. We've had a lot of good guests this year. And what we usually do is we take the better interviews that we've had over the year and put them into a best of, usually about 4 to 6 guests each episode. And we try and squeeze a good portion of the episode in, and or at least the interview in, maybe different guests from a different show mashed together. But just in 2016 alone, ready for this? Rich Voss, Samantha Lee, Aaron Berg, Haley Quinn, Nadia Ali, Brett Ernst, Kirsten Price, Vinnie Brand, and Nick Mailer. Lainey Spizer and Gia Nova, Jaden Lee, Jim Florentine, Natasha Starr, Adam Ferrara, Flash Brown, Natalia Starr, John McKeever, Brittany Benz, Robert Kelly, Jackie the Joke Man, Martling. That was our 200th episode. That was really good. Chanel Preston, your pal Nick Cavalier, and also Peekaboo Point. Essence Revealed, we did a GVAC Memorial episode, which I'm sure some of that will make it into the best of. Kristen Davis, Jonathan Kite from Two Broke Girls, Natalia Starr, Skin Diamond, Mia Vallis, Brian and Tony Just Hang, so that must have been a no-guest episode. Let's see. I'm guessing. Kristen Davis, we did that one, I'm sorry. I lost track. Brian Posehn, who's got a regular recurring episode arc on Big Bang Theory. And, Bob Levy, the Reverend Bob Levy. Sorry, having some... Leighton Benton.
Thank you for calling Colin Studios host and call screener line. Please enter your show number and press pound.
The call screening software died, I guess. See, I did jinx it. It's all my fault. let's see. Pin. Who else? The Rev Bob Levy, Leighton Benton. We had my pal Joe Conti, who's very, very funny. Rochelle Ryan, Big J Okerson we had on that show. That was a good threefer. James Barthelay we had on the show. Mary Radzinski, who's going to be joining us the week that we're back, the week of Christmas. She's doing a show at Helium. We're going to have her back on. She's fucking hysterical. She's open for Jimmy a lot of times. The adorable Rebel Lynn, Peyton Sinclair, Adam Ferrara, Loretta Vendetta, Bobby Kelly came back. Samantha Saint, Dan Natterman, who was great. Steve Byrne, who was also great. Mia Vallis came back and did a little mind fuck on you. That's definitely going to make the fucking best of. Gilbert Gottfried came back for the first time in 4 years.
That was one of my favorites.
And then Allison Tyler was the last show that we did. So we got a lot of good people to choose from.
Well, yeah, that was the one where I got drunk and was really mean. Yeah.
Did you listen back to that? Because you really were an asshole.
I didn't. I don't think I will.
You really were an asshole. You need to go back and listen to that.
Should I? I don't know if I can.
I was embarrassed. That's how bad you were.
I apologize to her. I think I have already. Somehow.
You said in the chat room, I didn't hear any fear destroying on that list. Our fear says that. Fear always destroys. Fear, our loyal, faithful listener who's in the chat room every week. You are like a third mic on this show in text form, my good friend. So, the Ham Radio Show has Nick, who's also in our chat room tonight. He's kind of like their stalker fan, their super fan. And Fear is kind of like, I wouldn't say he's our stalker fan. I would say he's more like our unofficial third mic. In text format. He participates in the show from the chat room. So, yeah. We could not do it without you. So, anyway. So, yes. Everything seems to be back up and running. Let's see.
Kind of.
I'm going to end it on my side. I'm just going to let you run it from your side.
Yeah, try that. That may be the issue.
I don't know. So, Nick in the chat room says, stalker producer of the Ham Radio Show. Sorry, I don't know if I'm giving you enough credit. I don't know. I was introduced that you were kind of like their stalker fan, but I know you do a lot on their website too. So that's good. So, yes, lots been going on, lots to announce in the second half of the show, but we're going to have a good best of round this year, so that should be good.
It's been a good year, long year. Yes. A lot of guests. What is this, my second year now?
I want to go back and officially research when you joined the show so that we can get an accurate anniversary on that.
I think that should be like one of a... Put that as a best of, like my first appearance. I'm sure it's horrible.
You were doing podcasting, so I and I'm not going to say you did it. We're doing it well or badly or anything. You weren't bad. So
no, I was pretty bad. I think I was pretty bad.
I don't know. Let me see if I can find. It wouldn't have been 2016. It would have been 2015 sometime.
It could have been late 14 maybe, but I don't think so. I can't remember.
I had Danica Dillon on the show in July of 2015. Were you on the show by then? I know you were doing the website.
I don't think I started doing the website till I actually got on the show.
No, you were doing the website, and that was kind of like your intro to the show. And because that's how you approached me. That's how we got involved with the show. And then I decided to put you on as a co-host because Alexa had left. So, I don't know. I don't know when it would be. I would have to go look. I would definitely have to go look. Yeah.
It's not working.
Don't tell me that.
I can't. The login's not working.
Oh. Check the message I just sent you.
Yeah.
Use a little R. I think that's the problem. We ran into that the last time.
Nope. What the fuck?
Drop the 3.
This is... There we go. Mother of cunt. Now we're going to have to do this all over again.
You still want me to call in? We're having call-in studio. Or our call-in software program is acting up now. Now that we've said everything's fine, of course, I had to fucking jinx that, so... But I'd rather have a small issue like that than not be able to do a show at all.
Well, let's hope it stays okay.
I don't know why you're having such
issues. Thank you for calling Call-In Studios host and call screener line. Please enter your show number and press pound.
Usually it's me that's having Call-In Studio issues.
Pin.
So...
Ready.
All right. Anybody in the queue?
No.
All right. So we've still...
Let's just hope it works. God. Why
What's
is this...
the issue? Why does it keep crashing?
It just kept crashing. Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. It wasn't doing that the other night when we tested it.
Oh, no. I've done it for my whole show for 2 hours, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It'll be fine, though.
Fear's saying that we're looping on Ustream. I don't know how that's possible. I'm literally watching the feed, and it's not... Like, I'm broadcasting the feed, so I don't know why it's looping. I don't know. It seems to be working fine on the iPhone, though. So I would say it's probably your computer, Fear. Don't freak me out. I'm already under enough stress this week.
Yeah, seriously. Me too, dude. It's just one thing after another, and a stupid podcast that we do. Not to, you know what I mean, though. There's so much other shit going on in our lives that I don't need this.
Nights.
Ugh. Fuck. So, no, we do. We do have a caller, I believe.
Oh, really?
Let me put him through. I believe this is our guest.
For the second time, we're going to try this. Last week, it didn't work so well. Our first guest tonight, you have seen for years on Cash Cab, and you can catch him still doing his stand-up all over the country. He'll be featuring at the doing a one-night-only gig at Helium Comedy Club next week. Mr. Ben Bailey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're so sorry we had issues last week, but we're trying to make it up to you this week. for however that's going to go.
I understand. It happens.
So, but good to have you back on the show, man.
Right now, I'm not. Got a big delay.
Is there a delay? Let me try and do. Tony, I'll call you right back. Let me see if this helps a little bit. So Ben Bailey is now back on the show for the first time since,
I'm not really sure.
It's been a little while since we've had Ben on the show. It's been a couple of years, actually. I think you were on one of our first shows back in 2010. It's been a while.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe when I did the radio tour for my last stand-up special.
Nice, nice. And is this part of, you know, you're working out new material for a new show, or?
No, I actually have. Right now I have a new special. It's up on my website. I got a new special and a whole bunch of other stuff that's up on my website. A couple of short films and two new podcasts of my own.
I saw that. You're a busy motherfucker. You've got the Speaking of Movies podcast that you're doing with Emma Gleason. And I'm assuming it's exactly what it sounds like, speaking about movies. It's like, is it a movie review kind of thing? Or is it just generally you're talking about movies that you want to talk about?
It's not so much a review. It was basically, Emma Gleason is my girlfriend. She's an actor, performer also. And we just love to watch movies. It's one of our favorite things to do. And then we always end up having these great conversations about them, even if the movie sucks.
Right.
We have a great conversation about why it sucked and, you know, or what we liked about it, what we didn't, little things that we noticed, you know, we just always end up having great conversations about them. At least we think they're great. So we were like, let's start recording these. Let's go downstairs to the studio after each movie and speak of movies. So nice. We're speaking of movies.
That's
so the whole idea is like we tell you at the beginning what movie it is.
Right.
So you watch that movie and then you listen to the show.
Oh, that's good. So everybody's all on the same page then. That works.
Yeah, like if you have to, you know, if you watch a movie, it's going to be in your head right after. Maybe you don't have somebody there to talk about it with at length or whatever. Or maybe two of you want to, you know, so you could listen to us talk about it and go, oh, yeah, I noticed that too. Or, yeah, that part was bullshit. Or, that, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
There's so many little things, especially the way movies are now. They're like, every movie's like an epic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, their movies are amazing, what's going on with them these days.
And nice. And then you've got the Meet Me at Ray's that you do with Judah Friedlander, who we've also had on the show. And that's more of...
Yeah, well, I was gonna ask if you guys had Judah on, yeah.
Yeah, we would love to have him back on. It's been a while, but...
Sorry, that's the delay getting us.
Yeah, I apologize. That's unfortunately...
Did you guys watch Meet Me at Ray's?
I have not. I'm going to have to start looking at that. I was on the website, but I didn't... I just saw the particular things that you had on there. I didn't get a chance to see any of them yet.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I just, because of the delay, I misunderstood. I thought you were saying you had watched it. It's just a short film. It's about 10 minutes long. It's a couple of idiots trying to meet up at Ray's Pizza.
Nice.
And there's, of course, you know, there's 50 Ray's Pizzas. So.
Well, you're a funny guy. Judah's a funny guy. So I would remotely imagine that it's probably pretty funny. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah.
And then you've got the...
proud of it. I put a lot into it. You know, I worked really hard at it, but I'm also too close to it to really tell you to find out. But I'm, you know, I love how it came out and it's pretty cool. There's, at the time we did the research, you know, when we were making the film, there was 27 Ray's Pizzas in New York City.
Wow.
Ray's, or a variation of the name Ray's. And, so there's one in every single shot of the movie.
Oh, so you're using different Ray's Pizzas.
Scene,
that's crazy.
There's not a scene in it, even if we're not at a Ray's Pizza, there's not a shot in the film that doesn't have a Ray's Pizza in it.
That's awesome.
So,
that,
you know,
really is.
It's not just the ones we're meeting up at. They're,
right,
they're
right.
Everywhere.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty funny.
We had a great time making it, you know, and a lot of those Ray's Pizzas that used to be around are not there anymore, so...
Interesting.
It's a period piece. It was anyway, but now it really is because it took me 12 years to put it out anywhere for anyone to watch. He made it in 2004.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I noticed there's a lot of things in New York City that I used to, when I was living in North Jersey, I used to go into New York City all the time. Now I live down in Philadelphia, but when I would go into New York City,
I can't understand you.
Let me try and do this real quick and see if that helps.
Shut the fuck with you. That's all.
Oh, wow, that's funny. That actually came through pretty well. That part did. So now I'm not sure if I should believe you or not.
The
Charlie Brown's teacher there.
The stuff that when I used to go to New York City when I was a kid.
Yeah, see, he's cutting out.
Can you?
Brian's been having some technical issues with his computer. Like I.
Ugh. This is just crap. Can you hear me now?
You have to get that shit sorted. You're going to lose listeners.
It's it's like Verizon. Can you hear me now? When I was in New York,
a radio show.
I used to live in North Jersey, and when I would go into New York all the time, there would be staples that we would go to, like Grace Papaya, for example. And now I think there's only one of those around. It's crazy.
Oh, right, Grace Papaya, the papaya dog.
Yeah, and it seems like there's only one of those there's around.
Which one is left? Is the one down at 6th Ave and 8th Street still there?
Well, that's Papaya Dog, I think. The one that's Gray's Papaya, I think the only one that's open is up in the 70s in Broadway somewhere.
72nd, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that used to be a staple of New York City.
The guy, Mr. Gray, who started Gray's Papaya, and I thought the one downtown used to be Gray's. I know there was another one somewhere.
Yeah.
His daughter is an acting teacher named Sheila Gray. She's a really good acting teacher.
Huh. That's interesting.
Took acting class with.
Huh. They featured Grace Papaya in so many...
Just random weirdo facts.
They featured Grace Papaya in so many different movies. Oh, okay. They featured Grace Papaya in so many different movies that it's kind of taken on a life of its own with its popularity, but then they closed so many of them that there's like only one existing. And then, like you said, there's Papaya Dog down on 6th and 8th, I think. But that's it. So,
yeah, that's the one I always thought that was Papaya, but maybe that was on 14th.
Yeah, I think
the other
it was.
Papaya was maybe on 14th and like 9th Ave or something.
Yeah, there was one that was at 30. There was one that was at 38th and 8th. That's the one I used to go to all the time.
38th and 8th, did you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, yeah. Hard to understand what you're saying, man, but I'm kind of having fun with it. So it'd be like, that'd be a really interesting show to do where you just, the host is just going in and out and muffled and shit all the time. And everyone just answers whatever they think he said. pineapple. Yeah. I love pineapple. if I hear correctly, you're just laughing on the other end. But I but also
it's hard not to do anything. No. It's hard not to do anything else at this point other than put a razor to my wrist, so
Yeah, Brian's gonna kill himself. So Ben, you have a podcast called Tall But True.
Yes, I do, yeah. We just made a whole bunch of new ones yesterday. I'm so psyched. We got all these great guests, man. The new season that's coming up. We did three of them to see if people liked them, and people seem to like them a lot. So we just did six more, and I had these amazing guests. I just called these guys that I know, kind of, mostly, and they were like, sure, yeah, I'd love to do it. So we got Artie Lang. We got Ray Romano. We got Jay Thomas. Bill Burr and Dom Herrera and my neighbor, who's just a funny guy who happened to have a great story of a concert, which was our topic. Each episode has a different guest and a different topic. So, all those new ones are coming up in the next couple of months.
So it's a niche every time. It's one topic for the entire show?
Yeah, we each tell a story or a couple of stories about, about that topic, whatever the topic is for that episode.
God, that must be tough. Is it an hour long? Is it?
Well, it usually ends up being an hour. We try to keep them to around an hour. So some of them are less. Sometimes you're like, all right, that was great, but none of us seem to have another funny story or a good story about that topic. So we're done in 50 minutes. But other times, I look down and we're at an hour 23 and I'm like, oh man, that went quick just because we were having such a great time.
Yeah.
So it's not that tough. And the reason it's not that tough is because I've always seen my life in terms of stories. I always love telling stories. That's basically how I ended up becoming a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling a story. I was working at the Comedy Store in L.A. answering the phones. And I was telling a story in the green room, a true story, an honest story that I had just experienced, how the way that I ended up in L.A. And working at the club there. And these guys had a little, by the end of it, I had a little audience. People thought I was a comedian. So a guy invited me to do his show. And I said no. And then, you know, luckily I got his card and I called him a couple of days later and said, yeah, I'll do it. So I was scared shitless. No.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. Maybe I should do this. This could be something, you know.
You just.
And now I'll tell you, as soon as I said one thing and got one laugh, I was like, I'm in. I'm all in. This is what I'm doing for the rest of my days here on planet Earth.
That's a great way to start.
So, it felt like it was sitting in front of me my whole life and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
You know, all I ever wanted to do when I was a kid was make the other kids laugh. I didn't care about anything else. But I'd do my work enough to get grades enough to either pass or whatever it was that I wanted to do that my parents were, you know, holding over. Like I did, you know, my one year they were like, if you want to keep playing hockey, you're going to have to have an A in chemistry. So I like went nuts and like worked hard at chemistry and flipped it around and got my grades up and so I could play hockey.
Oh, no.
But really, I just want to make everybody laugh.
Yeah. So you didn't even have to go through.
I want to play hockey too.
You don't even have to go through all the stresses, really. Of, you know, well, I'm sure you still bombed on stage. Every comic does at some point in their career, but you kind of just stumbled upon it, and then here you are. Here you are today.
Yeah, well, I was like, I just ended up at the Comedy Store working. That was my job, answering the phones, and I was watching these comics, and I was kind of thinking, I watched some of the guys, and I was thinking, maybe, you know what, I think I could do that. I don't know, but I think I could go up there and do that, you know?
Which is how...
And then that just happened. That guy thought I already was a comic. He said, how long have you been doing comedy? I said, I just started. Literally, when I started telling this story. But so, back to what we were talking about Tall But True, DC Benny is a great comic, a good friend of mine. I don't know if you guys know him or you've had him on or not. But
he was on Last Comic Standing.
Yes, he was. He was on Last Comic Standing, yeah, and did really well.
Yes, he did. He was very funny.
From what I understand. But he used to, it was his creation back then. Every Tuesday night, we had this show called Urban Myth. And I say we because by the end of it, we had all been doing it together for so long. We did it for years. Every Tuesday night was Urban Myth, storytelling night, stories on a theme, comedians come in, and everybody loved it. We all loved it. It was like our favorite thing just to get together and hang out and tell stories, let alone have an audience be laughing at them and you know, enjoying the stories with us.
Right.
And we just loved it. And then in the last year or so, I've set up a studio in my house, which I had already built because I make music. I write and I make music and stuff too and produce music. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to set it up, some mics in here and start, you know, doing interviews and just having conversations and whatever and see where that goes. And so we started doing that. And then pretty soon we were telling stories. I was like, we're sitting here telling stories, man. Let's do this. Let's have this be the show where we tell stories. And then honestly kind of threw together the format. Like we'll just get one other guest. And then it just, you know, it's still coming together some, but it seems to work pretty well. And we really have a good time doing it. So.
It seems like it's a different twist on the average podcast that you have out there with celebrity guests.
What did you say?
I said it seems like it's a twist on the average celebrity guest interview type of podcast that's out there now.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anybody's doing a podcast quite like it. And celebrity guest, we can say, as long as I am able to continue to get my celebrity to come on the show and tell stories. But that's not a really long list, so I don't know which ones are going to say yes or which ones are going to tell me to go fuck myself, so we'll see.
That's a good list, though, so far.
We'll have, we want to help you produce this and book it and help you book it and everything, and
right.
the camera's on, then people will want to do it, I guess. So
that's a long list of people, though. You've had Bill Burr, Dom Herrera. You know, those are not fucking names to sneeze at. So, I mean, those you're doing pretty good already from the infancy. So
yeah, we had. I was so happy. I called. Thank you. Yeah. I called my friends that I knew might be into it and might be up for it, and they responded overwhelmingly with yes, you know, I'll do it. And they went out of their way to do it when, you know, when yes. they were already busy. They're all very busy doing
sure
kinds of other things, of course. But it went great. Even my neighbor, I had that list of people, and my neighbor, his name's Bryce. He almost. He's the only one who called and was like, I don't think I can do it. I'm like, Ray Romano is the guest after you, Bryce. Get your ass over here. Ray's not canceling. You're not canceling. But so he was like, he goes, you know what? You're right. I'm coming. I'll tell him I can't reschedule.
That's funny.
It was great. He did a great job. It's a great story. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's a good story, then there you go.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've found opportunities on this show to talk to people that tell us great stories, and then all of a sudden, the interview time's over and done with, and you're like, well, where did the time go? And we didn't even talk about a million different things that I wanted to talk about, and we're already at time. So I would imagine that if you tell really good stories or get really good stories from your guests, I would imagine that the time just flies by.
Well, and another good thing about another good thing about a podcast is being able to hear the host. I mean, that's a key element, which I'm sure you have been.
Well, you know what's interesting? It's funny you say that because I have my rig, I have my studio all set up with my old computer and these like really nice mics that I got, and everything was great. And then the day before we recorded the first three episodes. It just didn't work. It just locked up, didn't work. So I had to go out the day before, the night before. I had my kids with me, so it was hard to find any time. They're here a part of the week, but so we had to go to the Apple store, and I had to buy a new computer and download all new software.
See that, Brian?
Really start from the ground up and build another rig for this studio from the ground up the night before. And so on our first episode, Colin Quinn is our guest. He tells a great story, a New York story. But my audio, we had a lot of issues. You know, we could hear him, but he couldn't hear us. He could hear one of us, but not the other. One of us could hear him, but not the other. And you know, so yeah. I feel for you. It's tricky. Luckily, that episode was good, and the next episode was good. The audio, I mean, it wasn't great. I had to go back and work on some parts of Collins. There's some parts of that first episode that are pretty rocky as far as audio goes, but we've got it.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, I know people who are just friends at the bar who think they're funny at the bar, and they're like, oh, we can do a podcast. And then they buy two microphones, and it sounds like shit, and they're not even, you know, funny. So for...
They're like, what is it that we always laugh about?
Yeah, I don't remember. Here, let me.
No, I can't remember. Me neither.
Yeah,
I think we're usually drunk.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's a lot of money you got to put into it if you really want to do a good show. Surprisingly enough,
there's a lot of money and a lot of hard work. You got to, and I feel like it has to be inspired. You can't just go, I think we could do this. You have to, you know, there has to be something that you want to do.
Right.
Like, just sit down and go, I'm going to write a TV show, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to write a song. Like, that doesn't work. You have to be, for me at least, you got to be specifically inspired to do whatever it is. And then you don't know what it is until you've done it.
Sure.
You know, you might write a whole thing and they go, oh, this is a poem. Or like, this should be a half hour. It's got to be,
Yeah, I mean, It's crazy. Like you said you had Bill Burr on, for instance. I mean,
I could have focused on something else to just go, we're going to do this show because we can. I don't know. I think your odds are even less than the regular odds, which are pretty long as it is, of having a huge success.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, for instance, you have some, you said you had Bill Burr on in his podcast where he just sits there and talks to himself and laughs at his own jokes. Same with somebody like Nick DiPaolo, which I think it's insane how I don't even understand how you can sit there and talk to yourself and do a podcast for 2 hours. It's a testament to how funny it is. Do you think you could do that? Just sit there in a room and do your podcast alone?
It's funny. I'm sitting in my studio by myself right now doing this with you guys. I don't know, man. Bill's, he's not talking to himself, right? He's talking directly to the audience. And I think that's a big part of what they about it, that he's just talking right to them, you know? I think I could. I don't have as much to say as Bill does, you know? I mean, Bill and I have known each other for years, and he generally has more to say conversationally than I do, you know? But he's passionate about different things than I am. He's like, you know, he's big into sports. He loves to talk about sports.
He's a big hockey fan, too.
That's like a... Yeah, he's a big hockey fan. He follows all sports, I think. And I've never been that guy. I always loved to participate in all kinds of sports, but I was never really a guy who watched a lot of sports and remembered who was what, you know, who did this, who did that. And some guys just know everything about sports, you know.
I've never been that guy either.
I'm out of my depth. I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
I played sports casually, but that was really about it. I didn't do any real paying attention when it came to stats or anything else like that. So I'm kind of that the same way you are. I enjoy watching it, but don't ask me like what particular plays they should run or they should have done this or, you know, who they should put in instead of this guy. I have no fucking clue. So.
Yeah. Yep. That's me. I've always been into individual sports. Like it's so telling of a comedian. I think a lot of comedians are like that as far as what they do. Like I always loved to compete in stuff, but when it was just me.
Yeah. When, let me ask you something. The last time you were on our show, you told us. The last time you were on our show, you told me a story about a newspaper reviewer who didn't a review of your act, and he called you Travis Bickle, and that was the one thing that stuck in my head from our last interview. And then I noticed on your website you're doing a bit called Badly Written Action Man. And I saw a YouTube video of you imitating De Niro doing Travis Bickle. So I'm wondering if that inspired that whole thing and it spiraled into this, or if there was a different story to that, or how'd you wind up with that?
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. I remember that article because it was really funny. I don't know what it is, but there, once in a while I have a look on my face, or a certain expression at a certain angle. People think I look like, you know, a young De Niro.
Right.
And it's, I never saw it, but eventually I did after, you know, talking about, because people would say it. They would see us shooting Cash Cab, right, and they would come over and call me Travis Bickle or say I look like De Niro.
Sure.
And the crew and I are all like, what are you talking about? What are these people talking about?
Right.
I'm like, I don't look like him at all. And then there's one picture, there's a picture of him from Taxi Driver, where he's standing in front of he's up close and his cab is in the background and he's looking at the camera and like one of the guys that worked security on Cash Cab came over and he covered the top of the picture. So it was just his face. And I was like, holy shit. Now I fucking see it, you know?
Right.
But, so it's really funny. Someone called me Travis Bickle, who reviewed a show that I did at Edinburgh in Scotland way before Cash Cab. That might be what we talked about, I think.
Okay.
But that definitely didn't inspire Badly Written Action Man. But, did I just lose you guys? Oh, no.
No, we're here.
But it inspired. Here's what happened with the impression, the Travis Bickle impression that's on the YouTube thing. For one, we were just starting to shoot our own stuff, and we were messing around with our audio and our lighting and our green screening and stuff. So we were like, whatever we come up with, let's just do it. And I had grown my hair not super long, but pretty long. And everybody thought I was bald. So, like, people I've known for years, I had my head shaved for like 10 years. But I had hair, so but I would groom it out. And then people that I've known forever are like looking at me like they don't know who I am.
Right.
My kids were like, who is that guy? Like, right in my face. It's hilarious. But so I grew it for a while, and then I got tired of it, and I was like, I'm going to shave it off. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to shave it into a mohawk first. just to see, just because why not, you know?
Sure.
So I shaved it into like an actual mohawk, and I was like, oh, my God, we got to do a Last of the Mohicans video. So we did that one, and I, you know what, I haven't put that one on the YouTube channel yet. I still have one. Emma and I did a, you know, the waterfall scene.
Right.
Where he's like, stay alive, no matter what occurs.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. I should put that up there. But then so the next phase, I was like, all right, so from this, I'll go shorter, and I'll cut up the mohawk and kind of, you know, purposely fuck it up, and we'll do a Travis Bickle one. So that's where that came from. And I actually did like a real one where I was acting the scene just myself. And then I did the one that's on the internet, which is like this, you know, this sort of stereotypical over the top De Niro impression, nothing like he delivers it in the movie at all.
But nice.
It's more, you know, it's like what the impressions of him have turned into.
Nice.
But yeah. Oh, and Badly Written Action Man. Sorry. I'm kind of just talking. You guys are going to chime in. I'm not going to understand you. I'm going to change my answer to the question about Bill. Yes, I could do a show all by myself.
I know. You just proved it.
Yeah.
So that way, if
it's Badly Written Act. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Seriously?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to talk the whole show.
You know? No, you're our guest.
Okay, cool. I'm with you. When my guests would start going long and talking, I'd just be signaling to DC, like, let him go, man.
Yeah, exactly.
take a sip of your water. Relax. Let him talk. But so I decided about, I don't know, 8 months ago or something, I realized that I had moved to California because I wanted to get into film and movies and TV, and that's what I loved, and that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
My father brought a video camera home when I was like 12 years old, I think. And he was like, look what I bought. And I was like, thank you. And it just became mine. And I just started making all these movies.
Right.
I loved it. I just wanted to make movies. That's all I wanted to do. And some of I made some pretty big productions while my parents were away, and I got in trouble. I made a Star Trek movie while my parents were away, and where we had to like beam down to planet Earth because we ran out of beer. You know, I was 14. Anyway,
that's a pretty funny concept, because
like my dad's office was the bridge of the Enterprise, and like
nice.
You're drinking nice. And like everything. But so maybe I was a little older when I made that one. But
right.
I always wanted to make movies, and that's why I moved to California.
Sure.
To get into film and television and movies. And I moved out there, and I got that job. That thing I told you earlier, the guy thought I was a comedian and asked me to do a show. That happened, and I just did that. And then 22 years went by, and I was like, holy shit, I want to make movies. I love stand-up. It's definitely my calling, but I want to make movies. I went out there to make movies. I've been totally distracted for 22 years.
Nice.
I want to make it. So I bought a board and I sunk some money into my production company. And I wrote down all the ideas for movies I ever had. Short films, sketches, feature films, you know, web series, whatever. Anything. I put them all on this big board and decided I was going to try to pick my favorite one and one that seemed relatively manageable. And I had this idea years ago about, you know, everybody always laughs about the lines in action movies and
sure.
how, you know, they're so bad. They're so good, but they're so bad, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And I just thought, wouldn't it be hilarious if you had all of that set up of the whole action movie genre, but then your star, his line was just awful. There's a tremendous buildup to him delivering one line, which is just sucks, you know.
Right, right.
So I had him as badly written action star. That's what it was forever. And then I started throwing ideas around with another comedian, a good writer, Lenny Marcus. And he abbreviated that to BWAS in his email subject.
So right.
I started calling it Boaz. And then I was like, you know what? That could be something else. Maybe there's something else in there.
Right.
It just hit me in the head like, wham!
Nice.
That's hilarious. It's like bam, badly written.
That's true, because you see all these action movies where they look like they're going to be really good, but then the star's lines are just fucking awful, and then it destroys the entire movie. It takes you out of it, and it could be a great fucking movie, but if the star has no lines that you can really relate to, there's no fucking story, and it doesn't push the movie along.
Yeah. So this is weird. It's like, it's hard to do good writing when you're trying to write badly.
Right.
It's like you have to do a good job of writing bad lines. So they have to be bad within the realm that you've sort of purported that they're in, that they're bad within, you know, but they have to be good.
Do so, you write them bad from the get-go? Really cool. Do you write them bad from the get-go and then make them shitty later on? Or do you just write them bad from the get-go?
It's, you know, some of each.
Okay.
Sometimes it's like, what's the joke here?
Right.
And what would the real action hero's line be?
Right.
The real action movie guy's line be. And then how can we distort that, or how can we make that take that and make it really bad so that you almost don't even get what it was supposed to be?
Right.
it seems to be easy to do when you know, sometimes they do that by accident, but
right.
But I love it. I'm so happy with it. Blam came out so good. It all just fell together. You know what, things just sort of feel right. Like
right.
The name Blam came like that. And I was like, this is a good sign, you know? And then, got a lot of good people into it. Got a great location. Shot it at this place. That's basically a castle.
Nice.
I'm so happy about it. I'm thinking I'm going to make another one. We're going to keep stuff coming on the website, man.
So
new podcasts coming, all those ones I told you about, plus speaking of movies, plus maybe Raze and Blam will both be up there for a while. Maybe there'll be another Blam at some point. My new stand-up special, Live and Uncensored, is up there still.
There's a best of
everywhere, Amazon. Spotify.
There's a Ben Bailey value pack that's available for $9.99. What's involved in the Ben Bailey value pack? What do you get for the $9.99?
First of all, I think it's hilarious that there's something called a Ben Bailey value pack. But like, how many Bens do you get? You buy three Bens, you get one free. Talk about branding your name. But that includes the special and both short films.
Okay. That's cool.
You get the 1 hour stand up special, and you get Blam and Meet Me at Raze for $9.99.
Nice.
Anybody that buys this stuff, all that money is coming. If you buy it through there, through my site, is all coming to me. It's all going to go to producing more great stuff for people to watch. I mean, that's all I really want to do.
Louis C.K. started this trend a couple years ago of the artist charging for it directly on his website, and it really seems to have taken off. Is it working well for you to do things that way versus going through a third party?
So far, it's going well in that I have actually produced these things and made them and put them out there, you know.
Right.
Where I might still be marred up in details of a deal or coming to an agreement or getting someone to be interested, I've actually now made these things. So it's great in that regard.
Nice.
As far as the financial, you know, the end of it, where, you know, whether or not they're profitable, I really don't know yet.
Right. Right.
I don't know. It's too soon. I mean, I just launched everything a couple weeks ago, I guess a couple weeks now. So.
Nice.
Both podcasts are free, so you can go and check those out.
Cool.
If you don't feel like spending any money, I get it. Not everybody has money for this stuff.
My wife and I are going to be traveling a lot this December on the Christmas tour because our families are spread far and wide. My dad and my brother are in Jersey. Her family is in the Outer Banks of the North Carolina. And then my mom and my sisters and my little brother are down in Roanoke, Virginia. So we travel all over the fucking place for Christmas and major holidays. So it's
every
cool.
Year you do it.
What was that?
Every year you do the same.
Yeah.
Joke with everybody.
Exactly. And it's weird because we travel to everybody, but nobody bothers traveling to us. So it's interesting to try and find new and cool things to keep your attention when you're on a 5-hour drive to fucking North Carolina or a 6-hour ride to Roanoke each way. And you can only listen to the same podcast for so long before you need to switch it up a little bit. So it's good to have options, and it's cool. I'll definitely be checking out your two podcasts because they both sound really cool.
Cool, yeah. I was going to say, I think there's enough up there to get you guys all the way to Carolina between the two of them. I feel like it's a good time to have a new podcast out there. Like there's a lot of great, great ones that have been going for a while. And just by kind of pure luck, I think we hit a good time to be launching a new one.
Yeah, definitely.
As it were.
And you're going to be at Helium Comedy Club on the 15th, which is next Thursday night at 7:30. You're doing a one-off, and you're going to be doing all stand-up
just
there.
Just one show. I'm not sure why, or I don't know what the deal was, really, but they just said, hey, you want to do one show Thursday the 15th in Philly. So if you guys are in Philly and you're thinking of coming out, please do. I haven't been there in quite a while.
Yeah.
Give them a good turnout on a Thursday like that.
Absolutely. They usually have a pretty good turnout on Thursdays as it is, but definitely having you there, I think, is going to be a good draw. So it's going to be a good time for people to go down and check it out.
I hope so, man. I haven't been there in a while. I was there years ago, and a huge fight broke out in the crowd.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally 10 guys fighting 10 other guys.
Wow. That's weird.
It's crazy. Like, Cash Cab was at its peak. Like, it was, and I would literally, sometimes the crowds would go so crazy when I first came out, that it was like pandemonium, man. Like there's one group of guys were yelling stuff. Another group of guys were yelling at them to shut up so they could hear the show.
Right.
I don't think I even said anything. And the poor bouncers were like, there's 20 guys fighting in here. There's
wow. That's insane.
They did a good job. And also about 10 cops came in too. That helped.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell you that I've been to the comedy club in Helium several times, and the bouncers there are usually really, really good about keeping the hecklers down to a dull roar. So, I mean, if there's any problems or anything they're usually...
It's a great club. That was just, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't stop.
Yeah.
Two guys can't stop 20 guys from fighting all at the same time.
Yeah.
For a few minutes at least. But, yeah, it's true. No, it's a great club, man.
It's like the gangs from West Side Story duking it out.
Sorry, what did you say?
I was gonna say it's like the gangs from West Side Story duking it out in a fucking comedy club in Philly.
When you're a jet, you're a jet.
Well, if you happen to be,
it was pretty crazy. I didn't know what to do. I yelled at them to calm down, but they were, gone.
Yeah, it's too far gone at that point. Yeah, it's crazy.
Sat down on the stool until everything cleared, and then I finally started my show.
Jesus, that's nuts.
So stressful. Oh, so fucking stressful, man.
Well, if you want to see Ben Bailey and you're in the Philadelphia area, go to heliumcomedy.com, click on Philadelphia, and you'll see Ben featured on the page there. Click the link for tickets, or you can call 215-496-9001. Ben, it's always a pleasure having you on, sir, and I apologize for the audio issues. We will make it up to you and do a better interview next time.
All right, man. As long as your audience can hear you, you'll be okay.
Yes, yeah, everything.
You don't want to lose them. They're like, I can't understand this guy. So good luck, man. I know the audio issues can be a real bitch.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. And have a great night. And we'll see you next week.
All right. You too, buddy. Thanks
man. Take care.
Good night, guys.
All right. Thanks. See you.
Bye-bye. Ben Bailey, ladies and gentlemen. We eked our way through that.
Yeah, we did something.
You know what it is? And I said this to you privately behind the scenes, but I'll break the fourth wall. it's interesting because the way we have it set up, Tony's running the phone calls now, obviously, and he's running the music and stuff that we use, the bumpers and the theme and shit like that. But I'm still recording stuff on this end and sending it out to the internet for live listeners. And it's weird because there's a delay normally when I'm hosting the show, when I have control of everything and the call screening software and everything, but it's increased through the distance of us using Skype and stuff like that. So Tony's on usually even bigger delay. And now I'm experiencing the delay that you're normally on, and it's fucking killing me. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now you know how I fucking feel. try to get a joke in with a caller or one of the guests, and it just completely falls flat.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. So
now you see why I normally just keep my fucking mouth shut?
Yeah, now I get it. Now I get it. Holy shit.
Gotta pick your spots.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. It gives you a new appreciation for doing this and having a co-host and what you got to go through. So, yeah. So, it just makes me realize that what you said about me being a great interviewer is only true to a certain extent. The other part of it is the fact that you can't get a word in edgewise to begin with anyway, so you might as well shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Uncle Eddie from the Ham Radio Show when we get back from these messages. Stay tuned as the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Brian Posehn, and you're listening to the Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv.
Want to stay up on what's going on with the show? Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/theradiofreaks and follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/theradiofreaks.
Yo, 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 damn son, I was here to talk to you about Bro Flowers. Yeah, that's right, broflowers.com. If you needs to get Valentine's Day flowers for your mama, your baby mama, your shorty, or your secretary, broflowers.com is the place to go. Shit, we get you the freshest flowers money can buy. We use our assorted network of growers such as hospitals, churches, cemeteries, nursing homes, and those fucking gas stations where you could buy a rose for a dollar and shit. We use all them to cut out the middleman and give you the best prices in town, son. Shit, we ain't kidding around. And yo, if you act today and enter in code word Obama when you place your order, you gonna get a free, that's right, a free vase courtesy of Maxwell House, son. Yeah, shit. Broflowers.com. When you got to get the best flowers for Valentine's Day.
Hey guys, it's your friend Dr. Scott from the Weird Medicine Show with Dr. Steve. A quick reminder that if you're like the rest of us, stressed out, worn out, and looking for a safe and effective convenient alternative, give My Simply Herbals a try. Fatigue Reprieve will give you the boost of energy without all of the sugar or caffeine. Stress less lowers anxiety and tension in a subtle but powerful way. The perfect stress-reducing formula. Give My Simply Herbals a try at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net.
The Summer Olympics, hundreds of events, thousands of athletes, millions of my stupid visa spots. Are you sick of hearing my ass? I am. Hell, I don't even use Visa. I'm old school, biatch. I use Diners Club, and that's when I pay for crap. Usually folks see me and go, put away your wallet, Shawshank. That breakfast burrito's on us. Visa. Proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
If there's a black entertainment network, shouldn't there be a white entertainment network?
Do you say sort of racist stuff, but stop short of saying the N-word? Enjoy the refreshing taste of diet racism. The same sweet ignorance of regular racism, but with none of the guilt or self-awareness.
You know I'm not racist, but I would never date an Asian guy.
Diet racism. Because you're afraid of blacks and Latinos, but you'd never say that out loud. It's the perfect beverage for people who don't directly contribute to oppression, but have strong opinions about how other cultures should handle it.
Stopping oppression shouldn't be a problem if you got nothing to hide.
For that busy, on-the-go professional who doesn't have the strength to admit he's been given at least a slight advantage by being born white.
The Irish were persecuted too, you know.
For the stay-at-home mom who hates affirmative action because she doesn't remember that black kids had to be escorted to school by the army.
My kids would have a way easier time getting into college if they were minorities.
Diet racism. Because you just don't get it. The official beverage of the Washington Redskins.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit, I can download it? Tell me where, announcer guy, I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
Like a lot of people, I love to smoke, but my friends and family always make me go outside to do it. So that's why I now use E-Meth. It's crystal meth, but electronic, so it produces vapor instead of smoke. And that means I can ride the ice pony anywhere I want.
Smoking is a social thing for me. Without my meth pipe, I don't know what to do with my hands. But now I do know what to do with them. Smoke meth. It's good.
Thanks to E-Meth, now I don't even need to leave the bar to get my sweet shabu shabu. Mama can smoke that chunky white crunch anywhere. At the office, at the grocery store, in a bathtub in the middle of the road, or face down in a big old tire.
E-Meth is healthier because it doesn't contain antifreeze, but it still has that great meth taste.
E-Meth lets me get totally gacked up on Whoop Chicken without yellowing my teeth. See? Perfectly white. What? Hello? This is he.
Thanks to E-Meth, I can now even smoke inside my favorite restaurant.
Excuse me, sir. You can't smoke meth in here.
It's okay. It's electronic.
I don't care. You in my living room, and you naked.
E-Meth is not for everyone. Talk to your doctor if you experience body rot, face melt, painful death, or fatigue.
E-Meth, you know it's good because it's blue, bitch.
They said Michael Phelps would never succeed as a swimmer. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never win gold. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never smoke a dude the size of a baby arm. They were wrong. Visa, proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
I'm Vinnie Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend, right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
Do you like your podcast with interviews, guests, comedians, maybe unwarranted opinions about this wacky, kooky election? Well, too bad, and fuck you. Hi, it's Tony, your favorite host from the Radio Freaks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Montez here.
Tune in every week to our show, The Anticast, where we talk about whatever the fuck we want. Hip-hop, sports, Hollywood, even relationships, and much more every week live, anticast.live, not .com. Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we'll see you fuckers there.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, follow the show at Anticast Live on Twitter, Brian Defect.
When my mom is a b***, my daddy is at AshleyMadison.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Ashley Madison man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Ashley Madison, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
Hey, it's Daddy D from the world famous Money Ranch, home of the HBO Cat House series and author of The Art of the Pimp. And you know what? When I'm not messing with the bunnies, I'm listening to Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks. If you missed the first half of the show, Brian flubbed his way through an interview with someone famous. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, call 951-373-2570. That's 951-FREAKS-0. Now, back to the show for more of the same shit you used to.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
Hello, everybody.
If you're just tuning in, you missed Ben Bailey from Cash Cab. And I highly recommend going back and checking it out. When he can finally hear me, it was pretty good. But you know what? I will say, you got it. We did a little role reversal. You got a taste of what it's like to be me, and I got a taste of what it's like to be you. And you were hanging pretty well.
Well, yeah, I'm better under pressure. I feel like I'm better under pressure.
Yeah, it was good though. You were doing pretty good. I was trying to feed you like questions that I would have normally asked, and you were completely ignoring them and going with your own shit. But you were doing good shit, so I didn't feel bad.
Yeah, I think I've learned something over these past 2 years. Dude, you would think.
I would hope, not that I'm really one to learn from, but I, you know, if you're going to learn anything, you know.
Yeah.
So. But yes, welcome back to the Radio Freaks. The great Ben Bailey from Cash Cab will be at Helium Comedy Club next Thursday, December 15th, for a one-off show doing his live stand-up. So go check that out. HeliumComedy.com or 215-496-9001 for tickets. And he doesn't know why he's only there one night either. So, but definitely don't miss the opportunity to go check out Ben Bailey. He's not in Philadelphia all that often, so. Hopefully there will be no fights breaking out this time.
That was pretty funny. That's insane.
How do you do stand-up in the middle of 20 people wanting to fucking throw down and scream at each other?
Well, there's always some fucking drunk idiots at comedy shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to get good and drunk at a comedy show before, sit at the bar in the lobby and wait. But, you know, then I just sit there quietly and laugh.
You like to get good and drunk doing this show and be obnoxious to guests, so there's that.
Oh, that's true. I like that, too.
It's kind of like having our own in-house heckler.
Yeah.
So... big announcement coming up in the next few minutes when we get Uncle Eddie on the show. Uncle Eddie, the host of the Ham Radio Show, which you can hear on hamradioshow.com every Tuesday. He's got a morning show, though.
He does a morning show?
Yeah, he does a morning show. It's like 9 to 1.
Huh.
I don't know how the fuck he does that. 9 to 1 every Tuesday morning. And he's got a studio that he does it from, and he's got like three guys with him. So.
Well, maybe he can help you with your audio issues. I'm sure he knows way more than we do.
He's in Staten Island. He's just the host of the show. He's got tech guys that work for him. So I'd actually have to get his tech guy to come down here. But yeah.
You should. That's what you should do.
Yeah. I should. It is a shit show. And they're real radio guys too. That's the thing. They Eddie worked on a radio station in New York City called Q104. With a guy by the name of Jim Kerr, who was a staple in New York radio for many, many years, and then he was on Sirius XM, and now I believe he's back on terrestrial radio again in New York. But he doesn't do the comedian guests the way we do, But he does the porn stars. He has a lot of the porn stars on. A lot of the same ones, too. But not necessarily at the same time. But I know Lainey books girls on his show, too. So. Anyway. I believe right now we have our second guest of the evening that we were just talking about. You can hear his show, The Ham Radio Show, every Tuesday morning from 9 to 1 on hamradioshow.com. And you should definitely check it out. Like I said, he's got porn stars the way we do, but not comedians. But he covers a lot of other shit that we don't cover. So definitely worth checking out. And if you get the chance, I highly recommend doing that because, you know, there's other shit to listen to out there. And if you're going to do it, you might as well listen to a good show. And his show is definitely a good show. So I would definitely check it out. Our next guest, Uncle Eddie from the Ham Radio Show. How are you, sir? Is he there?
Yes, Uncle Eddie, are you there, sir?
Ah, this is me. How are you?
can you hear Brian? That is the question.
No, Brian sounds like he's pretty much has a mouth like full of popcorn or something.
I was going to say cock, but all right, we'll go with popcorn.
Was that a fat joke, sir?
We do a cock. I mean, but cock probably would sound a little smoother. He's used to that.
Yes, we've been having some technical issues. I'm sure you've heard since last week when we had to cancel on you. And we apologize for
that.
Yes,
I heard that you upgraded to a cup or two cups and a piece of string.
Yes, going swimmingly. It would actually probably work. It would probably work better if we did that at this point.
But, that's what I'm hearing.
You know, I don't think Brian's changed any of his settings since he started doing the show 5 years ago. So, I mean, I think it's time for an upgrade, don't you?
A slight one, maybe.
I'm going to have to get Danny to come down and redo my shit. Is really what this is boiling down to.
Well, you have to move away from Windows 98.
That's the problem, I think, is I bought a computer that originally had Windows 8.1, and then I upgraded to Windows 10 on my own, and I think that probably is half the problem. I'm sure I fucked something up along the way.
Well, what Brian was trying to say, I'll just be his...
Brian sounds like every time I hear Brian now, I want to order fast food.
See, what he's trying to say was he upgraded to Windows 10, and then he updated Skype, and if anybody knows if you use Windows, I never update. Why would you update? It fucks everything up. It changes your settings for you automatically, and no, never upgrade. So we have
just
a bit...
unplug the shit.
Yeah, just throw it out. Just throw it out. I think what Brian was trying to get into, we have a big announcement we've been waiting to announce for a little while now that we really haven't said. And I don't really know how Brian wants to announce it.
Just do it.
I was going to say, he's going to sound like he's a train conductor, but
next stop, Trans, Times Square. You can get off here for Times Square. Ugh.
Yeah, boo, Brian.
Ding, ding.
But yes, Uncle Eddie,
you locked the door.
Watch the tram car, please.
You've started a new network, I believe. I believe that is the big announcement, which we are going to be a part of, and we're very happy. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. It is called the Unfiltered Radio Network. It is trying to kind of... I know there's a lot of people that do this now, and they go out of their way to build their own kind of, like, let's say a SiriusXM or their own kind of, like, hub for shows that they believe, you know, that they want people to listen to, and they want to drive more traffic to their world and their shows and what they do. The concept behind ours is exactly that, but a little bit more. We want to give a home to places, like much like our show, and I believe, you know, the Radio Freaks are definitely one of these type shows, who have gone out of their way and bring very much to the table, even though not right now, because Brian does sound like he's taking a cock in the mouth, but, however, do sound and act professional and put on an actual show.
Right.
They don't just get behind microphones and flip a switch and go, look at us, we're on the radio. La, 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 la.
Yeah, yeah.
And do other things. They actually have some form of a show behind it. And that's what we bring to the table, the Ham Radio Show. And we think and believe that the radio freaks, you guys, bring that to the table as well. So that's why we have you. And we have another show, Social Downfall Radio, which will be coming as soon as the host practically, usually on his deathbed from day to day, but we will make sure that he will get everything up and running as well. And it will all be housed under one site. And we'll be there for everybody to be entertained. And we might even expand even more and bring other shows who want to have a chance to actually show that, unlike what Howard Stern says, when he said that podcasts were, duty caca, for lack of a better word, that they can be professional. They can be what people actually, an alternative to what is out there right now.
Yeah, yeah. Because like you said, with podcasting, you need to be professional. Number one, you got to have the equipment. Number two, I said earlier, you kind of got to have a format. I know a lot of guys who think they're funny at the bar with their friends, and then they go, oh, let's start a podcast. And then they sit down and go, okay, now what do we do? Now what do we talk about? Let's do inside jokes for 2 hours, and nobody understands what the fuck we're talking about.
Exactly. Shit that makes them laugh. But the real key and the real goal is not shit that makes you laugh. It's shit that makes everybody else laugh. If you can make your job is to entertain the masses for as many hours as you're on. You're on for 1 hour. People should be laughing a lot because it's 1 hour.
Or at least entertained.
What happened?
Or at least be entertained somewhat and know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you don't have to laugh. I'm just saying, with our shows, we make, yours and mine and King over there on Social Downfall Radio, we make people laugh. That's our job. But entertainment-wise could be anything. You could be talking about movies. That's all you talk about on your podcast. And if you do it in a professional way and you actually do it in a way that's entertaining, that's what we need. We need more shows like that to shut the doubters up.
Now, you do a morning show, which I thought was very intriguing.
Yeah.
How do you do a morning show?
On that particular day, which is Tuesday, none of us work in the morning. So we figured, because I came from morning radio, I came from Q104, like Brian was saying, even though it sounded bad, but Brian was saying it. And I did work, Jim Kerr was Rock and Roll Morning Show on Q104, New York's classic rock, and I worked every morning, and I was there for 3+ years doing morning radio. And what I learned in the business is that's how you get the best guests. If you go out and you, because they're all there just, they want to plug shit. They want an out, someplace, an outpost to speak their mind, something, whatever. And that's what they want. And it's usually in the mornings. Now, of course, you can get them at night. You guys do it all the time. You just had Ben Bailey on. The Cash Cave guy was a freaking huge guest. That's a sure. Big name. And you can do it, but what I've learned is it seems to be more, it's easier. And it has more of a, it gets you energized. And more people want to be involved in that. And that's why we do morning radio. It's, to each his own. Everybody does whatever they want to do. That's like our certain niche. That's the thing that that's what makes us actually different than other people.
Right.
And that's what we need. We need a little diversity.
Yeah. It's definitely easier, I'm sure, to get up and kind of just get going in the morning and then just jump on. Because I struggle with that, doing nights like this and going as late as we do. Usually I'm fucking hammered, so that, that doesn't help. But, sometimes I gotta really slap myself in the face to get ready to go.
Yeah. And it's kind of like what goes on, with us, except it's gonna sound corny, and I have such a love for fucking radio that that every Tuesday morning, no matter what time I got in Monday night or whatever the case may be the night before, or if I was pissed fucking down drunk, whatever it is,
right,
that next morning I'm ready to go. Because I got a show to do. I give a shit so much about my show that everything else becomes secondary.
That's pretty much how I feel about this show, too, is that it's very much
fucking
like...
fucking go time.
Right. This is my baby, and if I have to do something on a Wednesday, I make sure that it's definitely not in any portion of the time overlapping with the Radio Freaks. Every aspect of my life is revolved around scheduling this show, so I make sure I'm constantly available. Even interviews, sometimes I have to pre-schedule an interview, and I'll get it early morning Wednesday, or I'll get it, you know, during the day on Tuesday or Monday or something like that, just so I can get the guest, because like you said, they're not always available at night. I'll do whatever it takes to get it, and then we'll do it, because Wednesday night is Wednesday night. That's almost like time to go to church kind of thing for me. You know, it is. You have to do it every week. So,
and that's one of the main reasons why the Radio Freaks are now shameless plug on the Network and part of our family, because you have the same work ethic and the same drive as we do. And, you know, Real Game represents and respects Real Game. We recognize.
Very when nice.
Look, Brian, I knew we shared the same publicist on a lot of shit.
Yes, yes, we but mentioned that.
Brian, we could share the same publicist, but Brian's show could suck donkey dick.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
That's,
right.
I mean, that's just the way it happens. There's a lot of people that know each other in this business, and we know, you know, some of them suck. Some of them shouldn't be on the air. Some right. of them are. I'm not saying names because hopefully I want to work there one, you know, soon.
Right.
But
I can name a few podcasts I hate.
Oh, yeah, we can name podcasts. They're fine. We can fucking totally trash those fuckers.
I look forward to that. I look forward to that.
Well, no, it's always fun. I mean, there are shows out there. I've had what, dude? I worked at a place, and I don't even know if I want to hype the name of the actual podcast company. It's not a podcast company. It was a same kind of thing like the Unfiltered Radio Network, except we actually are going to give a shit about our shows and right. not pigeonhole anybody into what they do. We worked at a place where we did our show, and they just felt like we were the shits and we were horrible and this, that, and the other thing. And like from time to time, we'd listen to their show, and I'm talking about the guy that ran the fucking thing. And we'd listen to their shows, and they're just like, they're in a fucking kitchen doing their show, makeshift fucking bullshit microphones.
Literally.
Ambient noise. They don't have anything interesting to talk about. And like you were saying before, they had inside jokes that like no one fucking got except them. That's the humongous problem, because like everybody wants to be Obi and Anthony.
Right.
Everybody wants to be Anthony Cumia. Everybody wants to be Jim Norton. Everybody wants to be Stern. Well, if you want to be it, then you better have the nuts to back it up.
Right. Absolutely.
And like wood floor liquor over here, my friend.
The if you listen to the Radio Freaks in the infancy, we had some of those issues as well. But we got past that until tonight, where we digressed again, but we got past most of that.
But you evolved.
Right, exactly. We got past that. We evolved to a halfway decent product. The guys that you're referring to wouldn't have thought they were the, quote, brains of the operation, would they? Is that who you're talking about?
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking. No, not them.
Okay. Because Eddie and I have run in pretty much the
different
circles.
Different group. There were mixes in with that group, though.
Oh, okay. Eddie and I have run in the same circles.
A splinter off of that group, right?
Gotcha. We have run in the same circles as far as our podcasts go for a long time now. So we have known about each other, but we've just not been on the same platform together. And we have very complementary shows, I think. I said in the beginning as we were introing you, you guys do porn stars the same as we do, but you guys do a lot of like current events shit and commentary on current events and that kind of stuff and making fun of news stories, whereas we prefer to go with comedian interviews as well. So it's kind of like a little bit different, but the same, and there's similarities, but they complement each other, I think.
And that's why I mean that you guys are a perfect fit for the Unfiltered Radio Network, because second Seamus plug, by the way. You're great you have.
I can tell you've been doing this a while. I can tell you've been doing this a while.
10 years. We fit like a glove. And we said, like, we love what you guys. And that's why you were the first show that I even thought of when we were talking. We were batting this idea around. And I was like, no, Brian and his show, this is, the Radio Freaks have to be a part of this because they do. We do compliment each other. And what's even funnier is we do share some of the same guests, but the fact is, it's two totally different kind of interviews.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you listen to one, and you have, like, you had Norton on.
Right.
Like, me and Brian had this whole thing where he's like, oh, Jesus, you got Brian on a fucking Norton too. We went back and forth, and you guys had him on too, but it was two totally different kind of interviews.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, if you listen to one, you can listen to the other, and you're never getting bored, and you get double the dose of the guest.
Right.
And even with the same with the porn stars.
Yep, so exactly back. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Does any of your co-hosts get drunk and be rude to the porn star guest?
No, all our guys are just heroin addicts.
Nice, nice.
So they're chill, all right. They don't just berate them. Yeah, and
they just melt into their chairs, and sometimes they come up with words.
Quality Staten Island Dagos that can't use Google to look shit up while he's doing the show. Sorry, Danny. Oh, that's funny.
Joy of radio.
See, that's the other thing that Eddie and I have in common too is it's hard work is hard to find.
He's doing it again.
Good co-hosts are hard to
find.
Yeah,
he's doing it again. See, we were good. I was hearing Brian perfectly.
It's weird. It goes in and out, and we never had this problem before. And now all of a sudden, I don't know what he did, but.
That's the problem, is that good help is hard to find.
Oh, there you go.
Good help is hard to find.
That out.
That's why you found me, right, Brian?
No, that's what I'm referring to. Good help is hard to find, and Eddie knows that better than anybody else.
Oh, geez, dude, I've been through 9 million co-hosts. We try to have girls on the show. We tried every little which way but loose of every little angle that we could think of, and the core of my show, just the three guys, plus now, you know, Joe, of course,
right.
You know, dumb as a rock sometimes. We are what works. Like, that's the problem. So he is right. Good help is hard to find. I've had other people leave to go off to start careers. I've had guys that got arrested. I had guys that went off to freaking California, you know, with no notice and things like that. And it just, you keep going. You persevere, but.
I've had porn stars that decide to take
this level of the game.
I've had porn stars that decide to take cross country trips and don't bother telling you and just call in from the road while they're driving so that you're getting road noise as you're traveling cross country. It's been great.
Oh,
I mean, I was thankful when that happened.
Wait, if we're getting on porn stars. I can add a couple too. I've had ones that gave us horrible interviews. We asked questions. And then they, after they get annoyed, right? They get annoyed. They're giving us horrible stuff, like just nothing, one word answers, horrible shit coming through the speakers and through my headphones. They have the unmitigated gall to call their people and have their people call other people who have to then call me. And they're like, well, did this happen? And I'm like, are you shitting me?
Wow.
Like, I would get called to the carpet for other people because, you know, they're megastars. And you can't tug on Superman's cape or, in this case, soiled fucking panties.
That's unreal.
And shit like that. You're like, you don't understand. Like, it's weird when the podcast or the live show or the internet radio program is the more fucking professional.
Right.
Than the guest that's supposed to be on.
Wow.
That's what's funny. That's what I laugh about in this business. Where we're more professional than, you know, I understand that you have 9 million fans or whatever the fuck, you know, and you take dicks to the face. I get it. Great. Great girl. Whatever. Fact of the matter, though, we at least showed up and did our shit. We upheld our end of the bargain.
Right.
You know, exactly. What the fuck with you?
That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, any guest can be hit or miss. I mean, I don't want to really say, you know, adult film stars are really, I guess.
We're not, don't put it all down on, you know, adult film stars, because it's not all of them. I've had to, we had me and Alice on the other day, who you guys have had on multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
One of you did that on Twitter. And so she put up on our Twitter, and she's amazing.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
She's one of the nicest girls in the effing world.
Oh, yeah. She, I mean, she's.
If you go to Ad Ham Radio Show, you'll see a personal video that she just put up.
Ooh.
Brian.
Yeah. This shiny hiney.
Yeah, I mean, she's great. She psychoanalyzed me. I sat down on the metaphorical psychiatrist couch, and she helped me through my mommy issues. I mean, she was great.
That's what I'm saying. But that, she brings, and that woman will go on to do great things, be it in porn or whatever. Her career will skyrocket. You know why? Because she knows what she's kind of doing. And there's other ones that are in the business, and it's not just porn, it's in every business, radio included, that they know they suck. And through somehow they've gotten it. Well, the porn stars definitely suck.
Hello.
They will go through all the bells and the whistles because they will do whatever it takes to hold on to their spot. Because they know deep down inside they're horrible at what they do.
Did you realize that...
My anger comes in.
Did you realize that Mia Vallis has got a psychology degree?
What happened?
Did you realize that Mia Vallis has got a psychology degree?
Nope. But she did, and she Freuded the shit out of me.
Wow, she did
like,
this.
I think she has like 3 degrees.
She did that with us, and then that's why we decided to let her work on Tony for one entire episode. And we got into some dark fucking places, too.
Oh, yeah. Eddie, go listen to that episode, our most recent with Mia Vallis psychoanalyzing me. It gets pretty dark, and she took me to a really weird place.
Did Tony play, is this the first time Tony, had a woman this long and didn't have to pay by the hour?
Well, again, we all know about my female issues, so you're not far off. You're not far off.
Nice.
Your female issues are probably the same as a lot of men's female issues, so don't worry about it.
Probably, yeah.
But it really is true. You guys will talk to a guest about one thing, and you know, even porn stars. How do you talk to a porn star a completely different way than somebody else? But our show has always had that. We talk to guests a certain way, whether you're a porn star or you're a comedian or you're a CEO of a company. Whereas you guys do a little bit more of a shock jock type angle, but it's still not as disrespectful as Howard Stern or Opie and Anthony, even though those two shows are really what got us into doing that type of stuff.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That I think is the goal. And I think the key to, I won't be like DJ Khaled. Yo, here's the key to success, bro. Here it is. The going out there and not further, like you were saying, treat them like they're fucking human. That's number one. Because, yeah, okay, so they have a job where they take it in the ass. A lot of people take it in the ass at their jobs. They just actually do it.
Right.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
And other than that, you can have a conversation. What if you find somebody, you're talking to her, and she's talking, like, about, we have one, and I can't even remember her name right now, but she was a sci-fi nerd. And we started talking about fucking superheroes for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And like Star Wars and shit. And it was one of the greatest interviews we ever did.
How do you not talk to a hot...
Exactly.
How do you not talk to a hot chick that's into comic books for an hour if that's something she's into? I mean, that's the easiest fucking thing in the world. There's not a lot of girls out there that are into that type of thing. So when they're into that type of thing, it's a fucking no-brainer to sit there and talk to them about that because it's easy. It's something we're into. It's something they're into. It's something the audience is into. It's a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah. And it's that simple. There's an expression called KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
And that's exactly what... That is how you should be doing a show. You shouldn't... You should aim to be as good as... And I know we just went, hoo-hoo, Robin. But you should aim to be as good as Stern. At least what it used to be.
Sure.
You should aim to be as good as Cumia. You should aim to be as good as Norton. Even right. Opie.
Yep.
Eric Nagel. You know, Mike Calta, Bubba, anybody that's come before you, that even if the rest of the world fucking hates, they came before you. They got to be doing something right because they're still around and you're here. Right. So you got to be doing, you can aim to be like them, but then put your own spin on it, and that's what I think you guys do too.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you are absolutely right. We do compliment each other.
Yeah. The thing too, you guys do show prep.